I think that deep down, we all long for the day when there will be peace and harmony in the world. And I think we long for that in our families and in the church. But the thing is, most of the time, when we think about the first century church, you know, we reflect upon it, we think, you know, they must have had all that peace and harmony that, you know, because they were perfect, because, hey, you know, they got to hang out with Jesus personally. And many of them knew the apostles, and many of them are witnesses to all these great miracles. So you would think that, you know, they would get it right, that their church was full of peace and harmony and everything was great. Sadly, if you thought that, well, you were mistaken. And that's simply because the church is made up of imperfect people. And because of that, there never was and there never will be a perfect gathering of the Lord's church. Just think about all the letters that we have in the New Testament written by the apostles. You know, you've got Paul and Peter and John, and we've got all those letters written to Christians and communities that they were having problems. They were writing the churches to address the problems they had. And so when we read those letters or books, like we like to call them, we begin to see that the early Christians faced some pretty serious temptations, and they faced many of the same failures and problems that we face today. And that means that the important thing for us to understand is how to properly work through those problems with the wisdom and power of God so that we could better get along with each other and experience the kind of joy that God wants for us in His church. And so today, we have another installment from our series, Finding Joy, A Journey Through Philippians, with a message that we're calling The Joy of Getting Along. The Joy of Getting Along. And our main text today is coming from the first three verses of chapter 4. And as always, I want to encourage everyone to follow along in your own Bibles. So if you would go ahead and get one out and navigate, whatever you want to do, it's always good to look at the text as we go along. Again, this is Philippians chapter 4 and verses 1 through 3. There Paul writes, "Therefore, my brothers, you whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, that is how you should stand firm in the Lord, dear friends. I plead with Euodia and I plead with Syntyche to agree with each other in the Lord. Yes, and I ask you, loyal yoke fellow, help these women who have contended at my side in the cause of the gospel, along with Clement and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life." In other words, other Christians, right? Now, since Christians make up the church or the body of Christ, the more united the body is, the better it's going to function. I'd like to think about it with our own physical bodies, right? Let's say you wanted to get up and go to the fridge for a snack or something to drink. I'll use snack. How's that? We'll use snack. And, you know, your body has got to work together for the same goal if you want that to happen. And that's because, you know, it works best that way, right? Because if your legs don't want to work when you get up and your arm doesn't want to move to get to that fridge door handle and open it up and get the snack and your mouth doesn't want to open, then, hey, you know, things just aren't going to happen. Well, it's that way with the church too. When you think about the church as the body of Christ, not everyone is the same or does the same things, kind of like, you know, arms and legs and mouth of your body or, you know, other parts, right? But of course they all function together with the same goal, and that's how unity within the Lord's church works. It's simply vital to the health and growth of the church. Sadly, Nothing will destroy the church and its mission quite like fragmented followers floundering flaccid. And if you've listened to messages before, you know I like alliteration. That aside, when we look at our text from Philippians chapter 4, we read about a couple of ladies who apparently aren't getting along all that well in the church. And, you know, it's causing all kinds of problems. And it gets back to Paul, and then he writes to them about the whole thing. So, you know, that's why we get to understand what to do here, because we read about Paul's teaching and how they can get along for their own sakes and for the churches. So let's start where Paul started with why they can't get along. Again, in verse 1, Paul writes, "Therefore, my brothers, you whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, that is how you should stand firm in the Lord, dear friends." Now, when you read that verse, I didn't exactly read it with the passion of Paul, but, you know, I can see that Paul cares deeply for the Christians in Philippi. They were his dear friends, he says. They were his brothers and sisters. They were his joy. They were his crown. They were people that he loved and longed for. Now, right about now, you think about what we were talking about and what he just said, you might be thinking, well, wait, weren't you going to talk about why these guys can't get along? This sounds like good stuff that Paul is talking about here. And I'd say, you're right. But just think about what Paul is doing here as he writes this letter. He's putting things in perspective. And we need to do that too. But he's putting things in perspective before he has to say something that's going to be a little bit hard for them to hear. In other words, it's like saying to somebody, you know, I need to talk to you about something rather difficult, but, you know, I want you to keep in mind that I love you, all right? And I only want to say what's best for you. And so he tells them to stand firm in the Lord. In other words, to remain true as they have been and need to continue be to the biblical teachings that he shared with them already, and to remain true to their faith in God, and of course, to one another. And then he says there in verses 2 and 3, "I plead with Euodia and I plead with Syntyche to agree with each other in the Lord. Yes, and I ask you, loyal yoke fellow, help these women who have contended at my side in the cause of the gospel, along with Clement and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are written in the book of life." Now, as intimate as Paul apparently was with the church in Philippi, these are all the details that he shares with us about these two women that are apparently at odds with each other. And when you think about it, he's writing to the church. They know the two women. He knows the two women. He's not going to list every single detail for us. So we don't really know what their disagreement was about. But whatever it was, it must have been rather significant for it to get all the way back to Paul for him to publicly talk about it in this letter that's going to be read before the whole congregation. So you have to ask yourself, well, who were Euodia and Syntyche? And why were they struggling to get along with each other? Well, again, we really can only guess, but we can guess with fair certainty that they were among the original group who were baptized into Christ at Philippi back in Acts chapter 16 and verses 13 through 15. After all, there was a significant gathering of just women at that river, and so it makes sense that they were there. They might have even hosted a church gathering in their respective homes from time to time, just like Lydia did. Now, while we don't know exactly just what their part was in the church, we do know that they were women who were important to the work in Philippi. How do we know that? Well, again, Paul tells us that they contended or labored or struggled at his side in the cause of the gospel. So clearly these women were active, faithful Christians in the Lord's church. But they were having a disagreement. You know, And their disagreement was impacting the whole body of Christ. And that's really all we know about these women and their situation. That all said, there must have been a whole lot more to these women and their lives than disagreeing with each other. But again, that's all we really know about them and how history has remembered them. That's kind of like how Judas has been remembered all throughout history as the betrayer. Yodia and Syntyche are sadly have come down known to us through history as really only disagreeing with each other. And that got me thinking, do any of us really want to go down history as the person who couldn't get along with someone else? Think about it. If someone were to summarize your own personal spiritual life right now, what would they say? I would like to hope that we would all want to be remembered for the positive things that we've said and done for the Lord and for our families. Again, while we don't have all the gossipy details of their argument, and I believe for good godly reason, we do know that these two faithful Christian women are at odds with each other. So what does Paul say about how they can get along? Well, again, let's read verses 2 and 3. This is, of course, back in Philippians chapter 4, if you've turned away. There in verse 2, he writes again, I plead with Euodia and I plead with Syntyche to agree with each other in the Lord. Yes, and I ask you, loyal yoke fellow, help these women who have contended at my side in the cause of the gospel, along with Clement and the rest of my fellow workers, whose names are in the book of life. Now, again, I think it's good for us to see, as Paul wrote this, that he didn't take sides in this. He didn't say who was right or who was wrong. He asked both of them to settle the problem in the Lord. He pleaded with them both. He says, I plead with Euodia and I plead with Syntyche. Okay? And that's because no matter what people say, there's some measure of fault on both sides. There's some measure of good. There's some measure of bad. There's some measure of fault on both sides. And that means that they need to come together with a mutual willingness to listen to one another and to change themselves. Of course, things don't always work out that way. But most of the time, when two people have a problem with each other, they talk with everyone else about it instead, right? They talk to everyone else about their problem, except with the person that they have the problem with. The thing is, we all know that it's really always best for the two people who have the problem with each other to go directly to each other and to try to work things out. Jesus even told us that's the best way to deal with interpersonal problems, like Jesse read for us in the scripture reading this morning from Matthew chapter 18 and verse 15, when Jesus said, if your brother sins against you, go and show him his fault just between the two of you. If he listens to you, you have won your brother over. And while this is clearly Jesus' teaching on handling things like this, either Euodia or Syntyche got together and couldn't work things out, or they didn't try yet. And I often wonder about people that have got a problem with maybe, let's say, you personally, or you have a problem with somebody else. For some reason, we tend to not go directly to that person to work things out. And I start to think, well, why? Why do we do that? Is it because we're afraid of conflict or confrontation in general? Or maybe it's because we're afraid that we might make matters worse and end up totally destroying the relationship altogether? Or is it simply because we just don't know what to say or how to say it? One way or another, these reasons all end up being about our fears. The thing is, God can help us to deal with those fears and to deal with the problems as we mature in Christ. And Paul obviously thinks that these two women are spiritually mature enough, because he encourages them to agree with each other in the Lord. In other words, our mutual commitment and obedience to the Lord can help us find commonality in the midst of whatever diversity and disagreements we're having to sort out. In the end, while we might not be able to agree with each other on everything, at least we can agree in the Lord about the central things of the Lord. And if we both love the Lord and His church more than we love ourselves, then the many things that cause disagreements become less important. Same thing is true in your family or other relationships. If you really love your family more, if you really love the other person more than the little things, those disagreements, they're not as important. They're insignificant. Now, the thing is, so, again, we're talking about you and me, right? We're talking about people. We know that things don't always work out so well between two people. And so sometimes it's helpful to have others, you know, to help things along a little bit. Even Jesus talked about that again back in Matthew chapter 18. And so here, in the case of Euodia and Syntyche, Paul asked that others within the congregation help these two women along. And while Paul might have had a specific person in mind, you know, he doesn't really name names. He mentions Clement, but I don't think he has Clement in mind in particular. He has a whole congregation in mind to help these women out. So, what if maybe you know a couple of people who are at odds with each other and you want to help out? What could and should you do? Well, I have three things here that I think can help you to help others get along. Three things. And the first is to not let yourself become a part of the problem. Don't let yourself become a part of the problem. So how can that happen? Well, I can't begin to list all the ways. But, you know, if we listen to and end up spreading rumors, or we listen to them and end up jumping to conclusions and end up taking sides on an issue in the disagreement, then, you know, you've become a part of the problem, all right? If we really want to help out, then find out why they want to include you in their problem in the first place. Not only that, you might want to find out who else they've talked to already, because if they're only trying to get you on their side, that's not really helping out. And most importantly, have they actually talked with the person that they have a conflict with about in the first place? If they haven't, maybe it's important to, actually it is important, to have them go talk to that person. Okay. Remember, you're not to take sides in this whole thing. You're neutral. But you've got to try to help them to sort things out between themselves. Proverbs 18:17 applies here and says, the first person to present his case seems right till another comes forward and questions him. In other words, you might take a side now, then you take a side later. It's best not to take any sides if you're there as a neutral mediator to help out, okay? That being true, you know, it's hard to stay impartial. It is. I'll admit that. But it's absolutely necessary if you really want to help out. Another thing that you can do to help others to get along is to encourage a spiritual perspective. Think about it. You know, sometimes when two people get into a conflict, they lose the right perspective. They end up so fixed on how right they are, how badly they've been wronged, and, well, they forget, you know, the most important things, like who the real enemy is. It's Satan. Satan wants to divide the church. He wants to divide families. He wants to knock down people who love one another and do good, you see. And we also need to know who it is that we really serve, to be reminded of that. That's Jesus, you know, and how much we all need God's mercy and forgiveness, yourself and the person you're in conflict with, and that our real love is a thing that, you know, puts the needs of others ahead of our own. If you really do love that person, you're going to put their needs ahead of your own, just like Jesus. And Paul talked about that with the Philippian church back in Philippians chapter 2, when he challenged the Philippians to be like-minded and of the same love as Christ Jesus, and to do nothing out of selfish ambition like Christ Jesus. But instead, he says in Philippians chapter 2, to consider others better than ourselves and to look to the interests of others. Now, remember we said that Philippians is a letter, right? We talked before about Epaphroditus being the letter carrier. You can just kind of imagine Epaphroditus showing up to the church at Philippi, right? He's got this letter, and he's going to read it before the congregation. And there sits Euodia, and there sits Syntyche. They're on opposite ends of the congregation because they're not talking to each other right now, you know? And, you know, he starts going upon, you know, Philippians chapter 2. Of course, it wasn't chapters then. It's just, you know, the letter. So he gets to that part there where he starts talking about Jesus, right? And about how considering others and not being selfish, you can kind of imagine Euodia sitting, yeah, he's talking about Syntyche. And you can imagine Syntyche going, you better listen up over there, Euodia, you know. And they're just, you know, rather than thinking about it applies to themselves, they just want to apply it to everyone else, you know. They're both hoping that each other was paying attention. Of course, by the time Epaphroditus got to the part here, and what we know is chapter 4 that mentions Euodia and Syntyche by name, they must have figured out by then that, hey, you know, those verses, hey, they apply to both of them individually. They apply to me. And really, you know, those verses do apply to me. And they apply to you. And they help us to put things in the right spiritual perspective. The third thing that you can do to help others to get along is to be very humble and gentle and careful. Again, we see that in our Philippians 2 text, and we also see that over in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 1, where Paul shares these insightful words with the Christians in the Galatian churches. He says, "Brothers, if someone is caught in a sin, you who are spiritual should restore him gently. But watch yourself, or you also may be tempted." In other words, you know, if we really want to help others to get along, then it's important to remind ourselves and to remind the people that we're helping that none of us are perfect and that we're only there to help and to not pass judgment on anyone. And so be patient and forgiving, just like the Lord is patient and forgiving with you. Of course, now we know in practice that's a hard thing to do. Because, you know, we're tempted. We're tempted to get into the fight and to take sides and say, yeah, hey, you're right. No, you're right. We want to pass judgment. And so maybe remembering what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 9 might help. When Jesus said, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God." That, hey, you know, that's the joy of getting along. Well, there's a poem that I found that really seems to sum things up nicely for us, and I'd like to close with that. It's a poem called "The Perfect Church," and it goes like this. "I think that I shall never see a church that's all it ought to be, a church whose members never stray beyond the straight and narrow way, a church that has no empty pews, whose preacher never has the blues, a church whose deacons always deek, and none is proud and all are meek, where gossips never peddle lies or make complaints or criticize, where all are always sweet and kind and all to others' faults are blind. Such perfect churches there may be, but none of them are known to me. But still we'll work and pray and plan to make our own the best we can." Prayerfully, we're always doing that, right? No congregation is perfect. No family is perfect, okay? And that's because no one is perfect. And because of that, we often end up in conflict with one another. But we can find the joy of getting along when we try to see things from the other person's perspective, and most importantly, from God's perspective. And then if we follow Paul's example of following Christ's example by being very humble and gentle and careful with one another and loving one another before ourselves, you know, with God's help, we can get along. But here's the thing. To do that, we really need to be getting along with God first. And we do that by submitting to Christ and by becoming a Christian, by believing that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and upon your trust in Him, to turn to Him in repentance, confessing Him as Lord and Savior, and then commit yourself to Him by being immersed in the watery grave for the forgiveness of your sins. And then rising up out of the water, will you continue to live your life for Him until Jesus comes back again, or you go to be with Him? For those of us who are already getting along good with God because of Jesus, hey, you know, prayerfully, we'll all find the joy of getting along with one another, you know, and helping others to find that joy too. And so if anyone has the need to share or seek prayer or to become a Christian for the very first time, I would like to encourage you to message us directly through Facebook, or you can email me directly at minister@ovchurch.org. Let's pray, shall we? Father God in heaven, again, we do so thank you and love you, and we thank you so much for Jesus, and we thank you for your word, where we can go to and find encouragement like this today, that no matter what sort of difficulties we have with one another, that we can work things out, Father, as long as we apply the principles that you've put out before us. Father, we pray for those people who are struggling in their relationships, that you'll help them to mend them. Pray for those people struggling in churches, that you'll help to mend those. And of course, Father, we are mindful of those struggling from COVID and also from the fires in our area, that you would bless them and take care of them. Father, we love you and pray all these things in Christ. Amen. Well, again, we want to thank you for making us a part of your Sunday, and pray that you'll worship with us the next time we have the opportunity to meet in Orangevale, Sunday mornings at 9, out in front of our building. And prayerfully, fires will have been put out and the smoke will have cleared so we can do that next week. Either way, though, we're still going to be, you know, assembling here online at 11 on Facebook. So we hope that you'll join us one way or the other. Thank you. God bless.